We are indeed thankful for today. We ask that you turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And as we study the scriptures today together, hope, pray, and trust that you're making good decisions, that you are honoring God in all that you are doing, that He is getting the glory, the honor, and the praise. This month, we're going to be talking about transformation through thankfulness. And we understand that the month of November has been selected by our great nation to be thankful. And we ought to be eternally thankful to the God of heaven who some 6,000 years ago put a plan together, and really before the foundation of the world. But we understand that we ought to be a thankful people. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, we come across 10 lepers. We'll read this, and then we'll begin making a few comments. Hopefully, the words that we choose to use will help us. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. It's interesting that when we consider, just for a few seconds, that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. When you consider the timeline of this particular situation, you actually have to go to the book of Matthew 16 when we get some of the context as well, looking at a timeline. Jesus most likely is coming, traveling from Caesarea Philippi, coming down through Galilee, down through Samaria, on his way to Jerusalem, which is in Judea. And so I find it very interesting that Jesus here is passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. You remember on one occasion it was said by the woman at the well that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And that was true. As a matter of fact, when we consider how the disciples responded to Jesus as he is talking to this Samaritan woman, it's obvious that they had no dealings with one another. But Jesus would actually deal with people that the Jews would not deal with. And so that's fine. We find that very interesting there. Verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, you look at verse number 12 there, and we see lepers. And one thing about lepers, that they were contagious. Now, some were highly contagious. Some were not as contagious. However, you go to Leviticus 13 and 14, you'll get the backdrop of leprosy and how God dealt with leprosy and the cleansing of leprosy. One thing about leprosy was a skin disease, and it attacked the whole body from the head down to the feet. And so the very fact that these men stood afar off is interesting, that in Leviticus 13, 44 through 45, that they would have to stand far off and say, unclean, unclean. And so they lift up their voices to Jesus, the Master, the Savior, and they say, have mercy on us. And so keep that in mind as we talk a little bit later as well. Verse 14, Jesus, notice, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, Jesus, of course, did not violate the law of Moses. The very fact that he tells them to go show themselves to the priest, this was according to Leviticus chapter 14, as it relates to the atonement and how they would have to offer up a specific animal, a specific beast, and take the blood of that particular animal and put it either on the nose, on the ear, on the foot, on the toe. And this was for atonement. Now, keep that in mind as we make comments later on as well, because Jesus was not going to violate the law, neither did he violate the law. Another thing we want to keep in mind, that these lepers, Jesus didn't even say you're cleansed to them at all. He didn't even say none of that. And so keep that in mind. Notice the next verse, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Now, we find it very interesting that one of them, out of all of the 10, only one of them turned around to give thanks, to worship, to return some type of gratitude. And so I want us to keep that in mind, because apparently this one was paying attention as he was going back to the priest in order to keep the law, if you will. Look at the next verse, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. As I was pondering this, and have been pondering it for a while, I want us to keep in mind that this particular section of Scripture should not be confused with the leper that is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, and Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Let's not make no confusion with those particular situations. Here we find these 10, and they come to Jesus, and as they come to Jesus, they're yelling, or lifting up their voice rather, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, it's interesting when you think about the leper community. The leper community were quarantined, if you will. However, not all, depending on if they were unclean or clean. When you think of someone like Naaman in 2 Samuel or Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 5, I'll get it together. He himself had leprosy and he wanted to be healed. However, it seems as if that he had people around him serving him, which demonstrates that he was not contagious. All leprosy was not contagious. And friends, this is not something extra biblical. You can go to Leviticus 13 and 14 and read it for yourself. It's interesting. And so if we're not careful, we'll think, well, leprosy is contagious. Well, some of it is, some of it is not. However, when we consider Naaman, he was cleansed. Now look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. Jesus makes a very interesting and powerful point, because when you think of those who were lepers, friends, people did not actually get cleared of that holistically, all right? Now, some of the leprosy would heal on its own, but it would still leave some type of mark, some type of indication that this person had a skin disease. Now, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 27, Jesus said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Now, that's interesting, because when we think about leprosy and leprosy being cleansed, friends, that just did not happen. So when Jesus actually cleansed these 10, friends, this is the second time we find in Scripture of it happening, which means that when you think of the body and how the body responds to leprosy, and you remember Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant of Elisha. And you remember when it was Elisha that told Naaman what to do in order to be cleansed. And Gehazi, in his greediness, in his covetousness, desired that which was supposed to be going to Elisha. And Elisha, he rejected it. He did not want it. And the leprosy that was on Naaman, well, God put it on Gehazi. His body turned white. Now, I'm making this point because in Luke chapter 17, when we think about these who stood afar off, you can guarantee that there was something wrong with their physical body. Some indication that they had the disease, had the plague. Now, one thing we know as it relates to the plague, it was caused because of some type of mucus, sneezing, coughing, things of that nature. And you think about them standing afar off and how they are lifting up their voice to Jesus, the Master, the Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One. And they were getting his attention. And as they got his attention, well, Jesus saw them. Now, I want to make a little brief point here, because here, these individuals, these 10 in unison, got the attention of Jesus, and that was enough to get his attention, but something was different with those other 9 as it relates to the Samaritan, the one. Something was different between those. And so we're going to bring out some of those distinctions, hopefully, as we are thinking about this, because they recognized him as being the Savior, the Anointed One. They recognized him as being one who had authority, one who had the power. They must have heard about this great man of God. So in verse number 15, as the one saw, he saw that he was healed. Now, this tells me that he was paying attention to himself as he is going to the priest. Now, remember, the priest was responsible as relates to the offering being made, the blood that was going to be upon the ear, the toe, the ear, and all that. And so he was responsible for that. So as they were going to the priest, this one paid attention. Hey, something's different. I've been healed. That's interesting. And the reason why that's interesting, because in order for us to truly be like this Samaritan, this thankful one, it requires us paying attention. Y'all come close. A great deed was done to these 10 men. These 10 men were most likely, because they stood afar off, was not in the community of those who did not have it. These 10 men understood separation of family, if you will. As they are going back to the priest, or returning to the priest, or going to the priest, they realized something, but only one paid attention enough to turn around. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The proper response to a good deed done to you is thank you. That's the proper response. There was a time when chivalry was something that was good. That a man, when a woman came to the table, he would tip his hat and he would stand up. There was a time in which we opened up the door for other people. Those in Texas would go up to those in the East or in the California area. You open up the door for somebody, and they'll know you're not from there. Why? Because you did something good, something chivalrous, if you will, something that was for someone else. And so when you think about that, here something great took place. Now these individuals, their whole lives were about to change. They were about to be back into their communities, back at home. Things were about to go back to normal, if you will. And this one, when he saw that he was healed, returned and noticed with a megaphone. Literally in the Greek, loud voice. Look it up for yourself. Megaphone. That's the phrase. With a megaphone, glorified God. And I thought about that and been thinking about it and meditating on it. I'm probably going to continue to meditate upon it. Here, this man in unison was lifting up his voice, lifting up like aerodynamics, just lifting up their voices, getting the Lord's attention. Now that God got his attention, he was ready to turn back and let Jesus know that God got my attention. And so that caused me to think. Has God gotten our attention? To those of us who have been baptized into Christ, members of the Lord's church, he has. But sometimes on the road to glory, we kind of lose our focus, our attention shifts. And so here we see something very interesting and very powerful. And notice what the Bible there says, fell down on his face, prostrate, humility. The way up is definitely down. The more that you can get God in you, the less room that you have between you and the floor, if you will, spiritually, the better off we are. Here, because of this, his thankfulness, his gratitude toward the great deed done toward him, friends, he falls down prostrate before the Lord. And so that caused me to think. When we consider coming to worship, John 4, 23 and 24, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, friends, the attitude that we have is, well, God ought to be glad that I'm here. That's not the attitude. The attitude that we ought to have is, God, thank you for allowing me to come in your presence. For he is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is the one to be awed. And so notice what he did. He gives thanks. And so when we consider this, friends, and think about this whole month of transformation through thankfulness. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus talks about the love of the elect growing cold. If we're not careful and you think about everything that's going on in our country, it can harden our hearts. It can cause us to lose focus. It can cause us, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be conformed to the world around us. And so here, can you imagine the time in which this man contracted this particular leprosy? Because everything that I've read, one is not born with this. It's contracted, which means, Brother Royce, that life was normal before leprosy. Which also teaches me that this individual was living a certain type of life, contracts this horrible disease, and now he's separated from his loved ones. Jesus gives him this particular opportunity to make things good. But then notice, he was a Samaritan. And so that caused me to think. Y'all stay with me. Most of the time when you read about the Samaritans in the scriptures, Sister Evelyn, it's always good. Now, that I found very interesting. Yet the Jews, they looked at the Samaritans as dogs. They didn't like the Samaritans. This is not something extra biblical. The disciples even said that. The Samaritan woman, yet they have no dealings with us, John chapter 4. And so here we stop and we consider some things. In Luke chapter 10, you remember what took place in Luke chapter 10 when there was a man that was beat up, left for dead, and who helped that man? A Samaritan. Samaritan. It's interesting. Here we have a Samaritan talking to Jesus, and here Jesus tells us something in John 4 that salvation is of the Jews. But she knew a lot about the God of the Jews, as if she had access to the information. However, they did not have all access to the information because Jesus makes that comment to her. She thought that worship was going to be in the physical place. Jesus tells them, no, worship is not going to be on this mountain nor any other mountain. God is spirit. So apparently the access there had to have been off a little bit. However, here, this particular individual had enough access to God and his people that when he came across Jesus Christ and Jesus heals them, he turns around. He turns around. And so that caused me to think about some things. When the gospel's being preached, when the word of God is being promulgated, when it's being proclaimed, is it enough in us, enough thankfulness in us to turn around from sin? turn around from bad attitudes, turn around from negativity, turn around from the things of this world, to be more specific, to turn around from what the problem that the Jews had with the Samaritans being racial. That, friends, we stop and we think about these things. Is it enough in us that when the preacher's talking about dressing right, do we turn? Treating our wife right, do we turn? Respecting our husbands, do we turn? Leading the flock correctly, do we turn? Preaching correctly, do we turn? Do we love God? Or do we have enough thankfulness in us that when our neighbor does us wrong, hey, we turn the other cheek? Do we turn? I've been thinking about this, and I'm not done thinking about it. Hopefully you'll think about it too, because the more that I think about this, this man here, this Samaritan, God left him in the scriptures for all posterity for us to see that even a Samaritan can do that which he expected out of the Jews. Now, that's interesting because notice what Jesus says. Because if transformation, change of mind, change of character, change of thought process is going to take place through graciousness, gratitude, then we have to understand that it's going to take place based upon what God has said and my honest and good heart, Luke 8:15. And when they come together, then I'm going to be running to the baptismal pool. I'm going to be running to make things right with my brother. I'm going to be running to make sure that me and my spouse are getting along with one another. And I'm treating her with the utmost love. And she's treating me with the utmost respect. And so notice what Jesus says. Were there not 10 cleansed? Now remember what Jesus said in Luke 4 verse 27. Even during the time of Israel, Naaman was the only one that was cleansed. Which implies that everybody else who had leprosy continued to have leprosy. Whether it was healed up and they were clean and able to go back into the community, or they had to stay in quarantine isolated. But Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? The implication there is that he expected all of the 10 to come back. But maybe they had what they had in their mind, Brother Branyan, is that we need to keep the law. So we need to go and present ourselves to the priest. Maybe that's what they was thinking. I give them the benefit of the doubt. However, apparently this Samaritan had enough in him that when you consider Leviticus 14 and you look at all of the times the word atonement is used to see that Jesus was actually the atonement. Mark 2 and verse number 5, Jesus had power to forgive sin on earth. No wonder here's a doctrinal point for those who believe that the thief on the cross was saved and that he was saved. We can be saved the same way that the thief on the cross can. Jesus had power to forgive sin on earth. Jesus had power to heal the way that he did. So the very fact that Jesus was on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross was actually okay because of what Jesus did. So the very fact that, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus, what are you implying? I'm implying that 10 should have been just as thankful as this one. There's so much in this text, and the more that I thought about it, I was telling Evelyn on the way here, I just got real sad. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, the more I think about this, I don't know where to stop. I thought I had in my mind what I wanted to say, but the more I think about it, it just gets deeper and deeper. Here, the Samaritan is going to teach us something that in turning back, he was actually demonstrating his thankfulness. He was demonstrating his reverence. He was demonstrating the glory given to God. He was demonstrating that I'm actually paying attention to you. And so that caused me to think even about my own life. Mike, are you thankful like you need to be? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks. But hold on. Can you imagine catching leprosy? This contagious disease. At this particular time, uncurable. Now it is. But can you imagine contracting this contagious disease, which had no cure at this particular time. Can you imagine getting this diagnosis and still thanking God? I got COVID. Father, thank you for allowing me to contract COVID. We don't talk like that. We should. We should. Why? In everything, give thanks. You don't understand. I lost a son. I lost a daughter. You don't understand. I might not. But one thing I do know is Jesus tells us, Paul tells us rather, in everything, give thanks. That's hard. But this man here, he didn't want to go to the priest for some reason. He wanted to turn around, and he did. And the reason why we know what he did was acceptable because of what Jesus said in verse 19. Your faith made you whole. Wow. But notice what else Jesus says. Jesus says in verse number 17, but where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give God or give glory to God except this foreigner? Friends, there is so much to say about being thankful. There is so much to say about just being thankful. And it shouldn't take the month of November to do that. I see many husbands and wives come in here every Lord's Day. You ought to be thankful. It may be a little tough at home, but at least you're still coming. Need to pray with each other. Need to tell one another thank you. I'm thankful for you. Brother Mike, maybe I'm not thankful for my spouse. Well, then you have to ask yourself, are you thankful to the God of heaven? Do you know that our prayers are hindered on how we treat our spouses? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We ought to be thankful that we're members of the Lord's church. Colossians 3, verse 15. We ought to be very thankful that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Brother Brian gets up here, Brother Dennis, he gets up here, and they give us communion thoughts, if I can call it that. I appreciate that. I hope you do too. You might think, though, well, it doesn't take all of that. He doesn't have to say all of that. We don't have anywhere to go. We need to be thinking about God and thanking him. Friends, there's so much to be thankful for. Our country is in turmoil, but it could be worse. It could be like China, and it's not. We're still in here worshiping God. Friends, I don't know about you, but the world tells us that different races can't get along, but I see something different in here. I'm thankful to that and for that. Regardless of the little hint of racism you may have in your heart, at least you have enough gumption to come and treat others with dignity and respect. I'm so thankful that we live in a place where people are respecting our families for what they are and who they are. We ought to turn around and tell God, thank you. You hear God's word being preached every Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day. Somebody's sound is in this pulpit or on that podium every Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. You ought to be thankful for that. There are plenty of congregations in the Lord's church. They're not getting it. Well, I'll turn around to God and say, thank you. It could be worse. But friends, it's good. This week we have election. Will you be thankful? or will we grumble? The Bible demonstrates to us to do all things without murmuring and complaining. Philippians 2:14. We can't make this up. It's interesting. Let's go real deep into this subject here. You think of that uncurable disease of leprosy. You think about sin. It was nothing that those 10 or anyone can do about their leprosy. You know, it's nothing that man can do about his sin but surrender his will to Jesus Christ. That's it. We have so many that are preaching false doctrine in our world. They say that baptism is not essential for salvation. But here's the problem. Jesus is the one that cleanses, or God is the one that cleanses through the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 14. He cleanses the conscience from dead works that we may serve God. If baptism is not essential, necessary for salvation, that means that I can serve God dirty. And that can't happen. If baptism is not essential for salvation, that means I can worship God unclean. That can't happen. If baptism is not essential for salvation, that means I can go to heaven in my sin. And that can't happen. Friends, the implications of what this text is teaching is so powerful. And I find it very interesting that the more that I was meditating on what Jesus said in verse number 19, the more I wanted to just scream. Friends, do you see that Jesus said with his own mouth in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? And then in verse number 19, he tells this Samaritan, your faith has made you whole. The implication there and the teaching there is just because they were Levitically and ceremonially cleansed, their physical body was cleansed of leprosy, they still had a sin problem. Only Jesus can make a point like that. And I ain't gonna lie to you, it took me 2 days to figure that out. And the more that I think about it, I'm like, only God can cleanse a person from something that man can't cure him from, but still won't save him unless he goes all the way. And the Samaritan went all the way as he turned around and he looked to Jesus for atonement. He turns around and looks to Jesus as authority. He turns to around and looks to Jesus for access. Because now he says he has glorified God. He says your faith, that's spiritual, has made thee whole. Which also implies that God was actually looking for gratitude in the other nine. I leave you with this. Are we thankful? Does the goodness of God actually cause us to be thankful? In Romans 2 and verse number 4, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Our thanksgiving to God should help us in our anxieties of life. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, notice what the Bible here says. And friends, take note about it. Take note. Take note. Because transformation actually takes place through thankfulness. The very fact that I'm gracious to God, it ought to help me with my anxieties. Here, the Apostle Paul says, by inspiration, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice, coupled with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. Watch verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I believe that that leper left with more peace than those nine. It was all in his heart. This man here left with a great conscience towards God. This man paid attention to what took place in his life. And so I asked this question. Mike, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention at home? Are you paying attention outside in the world with worldly people, those in sin? Are you paying attention? Do people see you as one who is gracious and thankful and the attitude that I'm glad that God has given me another day of life? In Psalm 100, we come before God and we enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Friends, are you thankful? Thanksgiving ought to cause us to tell our dads, whether they're 25 or 75 or 80 years old, if we're still alive, we ought to tell dad, thank you for loving me the way that you love me and spending time with me. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. But one thing that God can't stand is when we're not thankful. And guess what? We don't either. We can't stand it. You do something nice for somebody, they just kind of look at you. Our attitude is, see if I do that again. But not God. Let me prove that. Got one more passage. I do. I got one more passage. Luke 6:35. Watch this. Somebody might say, see, he ought to have that in his lesson. He ought to know what he's going to say. Be thankful you're getting another passage from God. In Luke 6:35, notice what the Bible says. Now, this is Jesus talking about God. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he, the Most High, is kind to the unthankful and evil. Wow. Friends, we can't help but be thankful. They don't deserve it. We don't either. But one thing God deserves, the very fact that we saw the gospel, because it's the power of God to save, and we turned around and said, I will obey. We were baptized into Christ. We were clothed with Christ. Friends, we ought to turn around and say thank you all the time. Are you thankful? If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Turn away from sin. Demonstrate to God that you're thankful by turning away from sin. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Don't confess your sins. God already knows you're a sinner. You need to confess Jesus before men. He'll confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. And on that last day, he'll confess you before his Father and the angels. Be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You'll be like the Ethiopian eunuch. You'll go away rejoicing. You'll be so thankful that all your sins have been washed away. Why? Because of the transformation of the mind, which leads to a transformed life and character and mindset. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been thankful. You keep watching the news and listening to it. And depending on what you're listening to, depending on what network you listen to, you can get hot pretty quick. And you won't be thankful to God. But friends, regardless of what happens, the commandment still stands. The commandment still stands. the commandment still stands. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.